no. Sentence first, verdict afterwards.
It looks like you ran afoul of something with wicked claws.
Why, you're a cat.
Hi, I'm Kevin Close, and with me is Christy Bruchok from Studio 680. Today we'll be considering how designers think by stepping through the looking glass with Brian Lawson, a beacon in the design field. Specifically, we'll be reviewing his seminal work, How Designers Think, The Design Process Demystified. Christy, can you tell us a bit more about Brian Lawson?
Brian Lawson is a scholar of architecture and psychology and a professor emeritus at Sheffield University, and his focus is on the design process as well as how designed environments, like educational or healthcare settings, impact the quality of life. He's written over 200 books, papers, and reports, but today we're going to just talk about one of these books. So, How Designers Think is divided into three sections. The first section talks about what is design, and then we discuss problems and solutions, and then the bulk of the book is devoted to design thinking.
Yeah, so I'll talk a little bit about the first section, which is what is design. And as is Brian Lawson's manner throughout the book, he really doesn't draw a hard line in the sand for the definition of what is design. Wouldn't you say so, Christy?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and so I have this quote from Brian Lawson, which I think really nails down his ideas. And he says, he talks about this definition, which is to initiate change in man-made things, right? This very lofty, lofty definition of what design is. And he says, all designers could probably agree that this applies to what they do, but does it really help? Such a definition is probably too general and abstract to be useful in helping us to design or to understand design. Do we really need a simple definition of design, or should we accept that design is too complex a matter to be summarized in less than a book? The answer is probably that we shall never really find a single satisfactory definition, but that the searching is probably much more important than the finding. And then he mentions this definition from Chris Jones, which is that design is the performing of a very complicated act of faith. And so, again, I think Brian Lawson in this section does a really, really good job of not making one simple, this is it, this is the definition, but rather, at least for me, I came away with the idea that what is design? Well, we don't exactly know. It's complicated, but it's still useful to search for what it is.
Right, which leads us into the second part of the book, where he talks about problems and solutions. He says that sometimes the environment, like medical systems or technology, change faster than designers are paced to keep up. And he gave examples like outdated hospitals. I'm thinking actually teaching standards in schools versus the curriculum that teachers have to teach would be another good example. And he presented us with three different ways that we could think about this. Procrastination, non-committal design, and throwaway design. So procrastination, I was pretty excited to see on the list of viable solutions. You just wait a little bit to shore up what the problem actually is. But Kevin, is there any reason why we might not want to use procrastination?
Yeah, so Brian Lawson also quoted here saying that delaying the decision may actually make the decision more complicated in the end. So I think that might be my problem, Christy.
Yeah, no, for sure. Decision making is hard enough as it is. We don't need to unnecessarily complicate it.
That's right. What's the next one?
All right, non-committal design. So non-committal design would be making buildings or other things that are capable of modification. And that seems to be a real trend that we've seen lately, especially with modular design. I'm thinking technology. I actually had an experience with this as an undergrad. I took a design class that was in the architecture space, and they were really proud of this particular space they had made. There were a bunch of partition walls that could be moved around to create cubicles or conference rooms and removed to make one big open space. And there were different tables and chairs that were also modular depending on what your needs were. The lighting was also not just modular, but they drew a lot on actual natural light. And so the benefit of that was that you're not so wasteful and you're really saving the environment. This was kind of in light of getting things more LEED certified and thinking very progressively. But the problem I noticed with that, every time I went to this space, all of the modular walls were stacked up in a pile in the corner because it came to be a bit more hassle than it was worth, and nobody was using that space in that way. And also, because it was designed for everything, nothing was particularly comfortable sitting around the conference table in chairs that weren't as much designed to sit in as they were made to become something else. Wasn't necessarily the optimal solution. So let's go to our third option, throwaway design. All right, so this is literally designed to be temporary and we can throw things away. Thinking fast fashion as a pretty obvious example where trends come and go, and so the clothes don't need to last forever, and so they're made really, really cheap. Another thought with throwaway design, when I was in China, it was right before the Olympics, and they had had to build all these stadiums that were only going to be needed for a few months. And so they only built the stadium to last for 3 years. And that was one of their big points of pride. And I'm sure it saved a lot of money.
Well, let me jump in here and say, yeah, it sounds wasteful, and I realize that. But at the same time, it's a legitimate solution. China is changing really, really quickly, and it might actually be better to do a little bit of throwaway design than not. And so the crazy part about this section is he offered these sort of three ways of dealing with this, and again, didn't draw a line in the sand, didn't really say this one's better than the other. I think his takeaway here is there's no one clean solution to the problem. You need to think about it holistically. You need to think about the resources that are available, the time that's available, whether you're solving a problem for now, a problem for the future, which one of those problems is more important or more serious. And in the third section, Lawson takes on this idea of design thinking. And specifically, he's looking at, is a model of designing possible? Now, of course, we can predict it's Lawson, so the answer is no. It's too complex a phenomenon to be describable by a simple diagram. But maybe if there is a point in the book where he does draw at least a light line in the sand, it might be here. And he kind of talks about these vague overarching ideas, which are important to design. So he talks about representing, formulating, bringing problems and solutions together. He talks about reflecting and evaluating. And he talks about some of the skills and values that are needed in design thinking.
So what is design thinking? We started the podcast today with a quote from Alice in Wonderland, a favorite of Brian Lawson. Let's listen to another one.
Can you do division? Divide a loaf by a knife? What's the answer to that?
I suppose.
Bread and butter, of course.
So what this quote gets at is that not everything, not every problem is as simple as it sounds. And sometimes it takes looking with a different perspective, coming at it from a different angle. All right, so we've covered now what's in the book, but now it's time to actually give the review and talk about whether or not we like it. So I'll start with this question. So Christy, did you like the book?
Yeah, I actually did. I liked that I got a good feel for the historical context of a lot of different design ideas and designers' ways of knowing things. And I also liked that you got many different perspectives and models. I kind of got the sense that I could pick and choose from different models that he provided throughout the book and design my own model based on what kind of needs I have, which is almost like a design thinking in itself.
Right. And so I guess I had some of those same feelings where I was very, very happy with how many models were presented. But then again, I feel like the author fails to put his foot down very often. So the jury was out on this one. This is something I like and I don't like. In one sense, my bullshitometer went off way less than usual in reading a work about how somebody thinks. You know, usually these works say this is how somebody thinks. They think in exactly this process. And sometimes there are some arrows here or there. So it's not quite linear. But generally, this is how it is. And I feel like Lawson did a really good job of staying away from that idea. But on the other hand, after reading this book, I really wasn't sure what exactly I should be doing.
So in summary, we do recommend this book, How Designers Think by Brian Lawson. And how about we end this with some more of that quirky music from Alice in Wonderland?